Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
An emotional and cathartic day for our country yesterday, a small but mighty step towards what athletes have been fighting for, along with many in society, accountability and change. And today we keep that same energy because that's what we do in the final hour. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. Now, we are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So let's rock, really, for the next 60 minutes. It's going to be a good time because the Detroit Lions and the Carolina Panthers are officially on the clock in the Janae and Golic Jr. mock draft here on ESPN Radio in about 30 minutes. But, Junior, like, honestly, after all of the sigh of the relief, what's good?
Well, no, I just you're so firmly ingrained in rhyme schemes that you
am
brought
I rhyming?
Up, well, you went just so you could get to on the clock. You said, for the first time in the time that I've known you, let's rock for the next hour. Like, I have never once known Janae Ogwumike to come on here and say, all right, guys, we're going to do it today. Let's rock. Like, you just brought that one out of the woodwork because your body instinctively knew you needed to rhyme.
Not that at all. I just am getting more comfortable. I'm letting my hair down and you getting a little bit more of me. So let's rock. Okay. It's season time. We're around the corner, and that's what I tell my teammates. And so you're my teammate. So get used to it. but before we get to all of that in about 30 minutes, yes, snaps for that. Unfortunately, no snaps for what we saw on our social media timelines from the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, Junior, you know, we'll get to that in about 10 minutes specifically. Now, Junior, I saw the countdown. Speaking of the clocks, the countdown was on once that tweet was up. Do you remember? Like, I saw your timeline. You were like, oh my gosh, it's been up an hour. It's been up 2 hours. Everyone's like, it's still up and it's a day later. I was laughing at your tweets.
It was straight up like that SpongeBob episode. It was one eternity later. You couldn't believe it was happening, but we'll get to good intentions, accountability, but ultimately missing the mark on that. But we were all just sitting around. Like, that was one of those days where the collective group on Twitter, there had been so much that had gone through. Like, there was so much stress online and real life for everybody yesterday. That moment, we were all just collectively looking at it like, there's no way that's possible.
Like, what? SMH, shake my head. And speaking of tweets, Junior, let's start here because we've got a bit of breaking news. Dave McMenamin actually tweeted this, our ESPN NBA insider that really closely follows the Lakers. Today, Anthony Davis, the news came out that he will make his return, likely return, from a 9-week absence on Thursday against the Dallas Mavericks, which I'm here for this because that's Luka versus now Anthony Davis, which is great. And I found this really compelling. It was honestly, Junior, brutally honest what Anthony Davis said. And here's a quote of what he said. Gratefully, Anthony Davis said he now feels, quote, 100% healthy from the calf strain and tendinosis in his right leg. But he really detailed the scary moments after the injury occurred. Quote, I never tore an Achilles, but I kind of felt like sharp pain, like it was ripping, which I had never felt before. So I knew it was something serious. It wasn't as serious as it could have been, but it was still a pretty significant injury. And Junior, when you hear that, now I've suffered an Achilles injury, and I was fortunate, and this might sound wild to our audience, but I was in China playing overseas, and I hurt my Achilles. And for some reason, I did not experience as much pain. Maybe my body was in shock and trauma. I realized that I could not step on my foot and I didn't push the limits. Your girl was in a wheelchair moving through the Chinese airports all the way till I got back to the U.S. in 48 hours, got on the table for a surgery and was on my road to recovery. And so I am the exception in that instance because a lot of people that deal with Achilles speak like Anthony Davis in his candor that we just heard. So Junior, knowing the severity of what, you know, he sort of experienced, are you confident in the Lakers maintaining their health, especially given that LeBron James, we're still awaiting his return as well?
Yeah, I think LeBron, certainly a high ankle, while it's the worst of the two when you hear between low and high ankle sprain, high is the one that you really want to worry about. There's so much stability in that. For LeBron James, I take some solace in the fact, Janae, in knowing that Anthony Davis, because he's their long-term future, wasn't going to get rushed back. He said he's feeling 100%, which we know is not true. No athlete's feeling 100% at this point in the season.
Facts.
But for him to even come out and say that, for him, them to trot him back out here, looking around and seeing all the injuries that have been across the league, that gives me some solace in all this. Now, hearing him talk like that about an Achilles in a player of his size is terrifying because we know seven-footers, especially big ones, that's a daunting recovery should that thing go. And I'm sure that's the number one thing the Lakers front office is holding their breath about right now because that is their meal ticket for the next decade, God willing.
Yeah, Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, Chinay Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. So that's one side of the debate. You know, when it comes to championships and health, it's great look that the Lakers get Anthony Davis back. But on the other side, we got an update from our own ESPN's NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, considering we heard the news yesterday that James Harden experienced what the Brooklyn Nets are calling a, quote, setback. And their head coach, Steve Nash, even said back to square one in his hamstring rehabilitation and is now out indefinitely. And this is Woj giving us the latest update on James Harden.
He got back on the court yesterday, Zubin, and, you know, tried out that hamstring that's caused him to be out, you know, for a few weeks and re-aggravated it. And so got an MRI. And you know, the Nets are now going to hold him out, you know, probably right up until the playoffs, I'm told. Now, whether that's he's ready to come back with a couple games left in the regular season or a few games left, or he isn't able to start until return until in the playoffs, they're not going to know until we get closer. But a real setback because the Nets were thought they were getting to a point where they might have their big three back here in the very near future. Durant with that thigh bruise and then Harden coming off of the hamstring. And now, you know, it was back to just Kyrie Irving on the court.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That was Adrian Wojnarowski with the guys on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin talking about the updated status for James Harden. So, Chinay, looking at that now, I have very little confidence that we're going to see anything close to a whole James Harden for the rest of the season just because soft tissue injury like that on a big muscle like the hamstring, that only gets better with rest. And we saw he re-aggravated this as he was ramping back up. It wasn't like he fell. It wasn't like he slipped or stumbled. This was over the course of doing normal basketball activity leading up to this. That shows you where this hamstring's at now. So I want to ask you this then, because we've got AD coming back on the Lakers side. Still LeBron, some time off in the future here. We don't know his status or when he's going to be back. But we know this re-injury here. We know Kevin Durant probably going to play tomorrow night also after that thigh contusion. Him and Kyrie Irving on that side. If I had to ask you to throw down the money right now, Nets or Lakers, who's making it further on their side of the conference here in the playoffs?
I'm thinking that's why there's a dramatic pause.
Very dramatic right now. The tension is palpable here.
I am taking Brooklyn right now still, just because there is still time. Even if James Harden misses the first round, I still believe Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant can hold it down. And if they get James Harden back in the second, then they're off and running, even though, like, you know, they're going to have to deal with figuring it out on the fly in the playoffs. What I will say this about the Los Angeles Lakers that I think is amazing is that, you know, while no one is 100%, as you said, Junior, especially this late in the postseason, Anthony Davis missed 9 weeks. And so he's probably more fresh than most of the stars that are dealing with some real ailments this late in the season. 9 weeks to get back and feel 100%, while he was comfortable enough to say, like, man, I was really scared, but guess what? I'm at the point that I'm 100% now. That looks good for the Lakers. They're going to be extremely conservative with LeBron James, which is why, Junior, I continue to have this feeling that it's going to be big 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James-led team taking on the Warriors, the team that's favored. You know, that's the feeling I'm getting this year. And also, given the health question marks all around the league, it's anyone's championship. So I feel good about Brooklyn because there's time for them to still get on the floor, even not 100% and have more weapons. But the reality is every other team in the association, maybe with the exception of the Denver Nuggets, because that Jamal Murray thing really broke my heart. Every other team has a shot if they are healthy and capable. And it looks like right now, you know, Denver and then also Brooklyn are having the bigger issues while the Lakers are getting a huge piece back.
Yeah, Chinay, I would actually back the Lakers in this fight. Now, there are numbers to prove that with Kevin Durant on and off the court, he's actually the biggest swing value-wise for Brooklyn, that Kevin Durant, with any combination of either Kyrie or James Harden, is more valuable to that team. There's a bigger swing than when you take Harden or Kyrie individually off the court for that team. And so there's reason to think that he might be enough and that the basketball prowess of these guys who Kyrie and KD have been there, even though they haven't been on the court in the last year for the Nets, they've been there. They've been working together at least. But that continuity for the Lakers and timing of all this, the war of attrition is undefeated in sports. When you look up, the teams that tend to be holding trophies are the ones that either manage to get healthy at the right time or manage to stay healthy. And I feel like the Lakers are at least on a trajectory right now where we haven't heard things like setback. It's been a little smoother towards this, and they've had this long-term goal in mind. LeBron James knows how to play for the postseason, and I'm going to give him that benefit of the doubt because because he's earned it in this spot. But at Chiney, at Mike Golic Jr., Lakers or Nets, who do you think's making it farther in the upcoming NBA playoffs? And we're getting close. We're about 14 games away
Crazy.
From getting this thing going.
And
here.
The play-in tournament, which will be so much fun as well.
Excited to watch the Mavericks in the play-in tournament. It's going to be a great time there for Luka and Mark Cuban. But coming up next.
Oh, gosh.
Let's head to the Tweet Herd
Dwight
round
Powell and the Mavericks, okay?
Dwight Powell, and then put some respect on that man's name. Coming up next, though, we will head to the Tweet Herd round the world yesterday. The Raiders sent a tweet that caused all of us to stop and think about what we should expect from organization amidst times of uncertainty. What do we learn and where do we go forward from next here on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Justice was done. It's hard to celebrate because it doesn't bring back George Floyd.
You know, hopefully this will send a message. You just have to do right. We're going to hold you accountable no matter who you are.
Songs, The Bigger Picture by Lil Baby. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chiney Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. And it was a day yesterday. We were sitting on our seats in the middle of our show in anticipation of the Derek Chauvin verdict, the police officer that was charged with the murder of George Floyd that found Officer Chauvin guilty on all three accounts, second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. And as, you know, expected, there was so much reaction all over social media and the sports world and the world overall to that verdict. And one specific choice caught our attention in the worst way. But before we get to what caught us really off guard, many professional sports teams and leagues and players all use their media availability as expected and predicted to speak on matters, things that matter most to them. And Stan Van Gundy should absolutely be of note because he's one of the most vocal voices in the NBA on issues of social justice, which is very meaningful because, you know, as a white man, he's trying to do his best to be an ally for a league that is predominantly black. And as always, Stan Van Gundy preaches that we must continue to not only talk the talk, but also walk the walk. Take a listen.
I look at it today and I, you know, in my mind, justice was done. But it's hard to celebrate. It's hard to celebrate because it doesn't bring back George Floyd. And so we had somebody needlessly killed right in front of us, you know, right in front of all of us, because we could see it on video and no verdict is going to change that. And so while it's just, it's hard to celebrate. And then it's also hard to celebrate because we've had other incidents just like it since the time that George Floyd got killed. And so I guess what you wonder out of all this is it going to change anything? You know, is it going to change anything? I mean, it was a just verdict, but will it have larger implications? Will it force us or, you know, at least motivate us to explore better policing and solving the immense problem of racial justice? Is it gonna do any of that? Is it gonna move us forward on any of that? Or is just this just an isolated verdict on one where we had clear video evidence?
And that was Stan Van Gundy, Pelicans head coach, wondering about what a lot of us sort of share, you know, what will come next. And I think we all know that this is something that the athletes care about, Junior. Because when we look at ourselves as human beings, especially now, we're at the intersection, and I spoke of this on The Jump, we're at the intersection of where athletes can be activists. You no longer have to fit in a box. You can be the best hooper or the best athlete as possible, but you can also use your platform to help create change. And that's that social consciousness that not only the sports world, but even the corporate world is really dealing with.
Yeah, and I think for the sports world, following the athlete's lead has been what this is about. Because remember, there was a while where it felt like athletes were very much forcing the hands of teams, forcing the hands of their ownership to try and say, I mean, hell, we had NBA players walk off the court in the bubble, WNBA players walk off the court in their bubble to signal to everybody, we're not going to play until you start listening to us in these spots. And so, Chiney, that's what kind of brings us to what happened with the Las Vegas Raiders and the tweet that went up there. Because the Raiders, during yesterday when the news came in, was announced and the verdict was read, put out a tweet on their team Twitter account that said, I can breathe, with the date 4/20/21, that being the date that day. And Mark Davis, their owner, came out and owned up to it. Their social media department was taking a beating on Twitter, Chiney. Mark Davis came out and owned up to it, which I thought was a great step, and said, no, this came directly from me. I thought I was taking my cues from George Floyd's family, whose brother actually said after the verdict came out, we can finally breathe again. But, Chiney, we know there was some context to this statement that Mark Davis was missing, and so the tweet remains up, but this turns into a learning moment there. But one, they're still going to take a fair amount of heat, and deservedly so, for in the way they executed.
Yeah, and the context that people need to know, and I think, you know, great reporters have sort of pushed back on with Mark Davis, is that the I Can't Breathe was sort of weaponized as a slogan that was anti the movement that finally saw the light of day yesterday in reaction to George Floyd and a guilty verdict. And that's what a lot of people gave a lot of people pause. And so this is just one of those instances where we brought up Stan Van Gundy of Gundy, Pelicans head coach, saying like, look, it's great that we had a verdict, in his opinion, that actually moved us towards, you know, the justice system potentially being more, you know, institutional, not just aspirational in these instances. But the reality is, you know, we need to have the conversations. We need to carry this over. We need to keep that same energy so that these mistakes will not be construed as your lack of care for, you know, just black and brown bodies or the black community. And you know that we're sensitive, hypersensitive to this. And I say we because it's the sports world and the WNBA that's predominantly 80% black, the NBA that's 70% black, and the NFL that I think is upwards of 65 to 70% black. And so these things matter. And so when you make a mistake so public, absolutely, absolutely glad that he jumped in front of it and was like, hey, this was me, this was my choice. But still, it could have been prevented if you had those conversations, or at least someone in the room that hopefully, you know, you listened to or just made the point known that this could be construed in the wrong way. We understand, Mark Davis, that your heart is there, but the fact that it remained pinned and now is just, you know, still on the timeline, no longer pinned, sort of makes it show that like, hey, have we fully understood? And the work can't be done overnight, but it was still shocking to see.
It was, and I'd say this, Chiney, there might be people in place. I don't know what the Raiders organization and their hiring looks like there, but you still got to be willing to listen in those spots. Mark Davis is getting a lot of credit for intent here. George Floyd's brother even came out with a statement supporting the Las Vegas Raiders for the message that they put out. Intent only gets you so far. If I intend to block the three technique and don't do it, the play still fails on the field. And right here, you're right. There were people that saw this and could be offended by the message, could take it a number of different ways at a time where people are really sensitive to all of this. I appreciate the fact that athletes' voices, and I saw Mina Kimes bring this up on Around the Horn, athletes' voices have forced organizations to feel like they've got to put these statements out. They've got to support the players on their teams as well as the communities that they live in and here. But that's only going to get you so far. Anyone with a competent PR staff can put together the right words in a situation. We saw a summer full of black tiles on Instagram that might have been singing a different tune when we got to the next day, because we know when the eyes are on you, it's different than what you might actually do. And so the work that follows this up, and that might be why Mark Davis gets some benefit of the doubt here, because we've seen things like the Raiders and UNLV working together to build an academy to develop minority coaching and GM candidates. Maybe he's doing the work, but that's what we've got to see. It's what we've seen from the athletes. And the next step is what we've been asking for. Do the owners, do the people with the real meaningful power back this up? Because a statement is the lowest bar that you can clear in a social media world that we know has impact, but ultimately isn't the real thing.
And also buying the Las Vegas Aces, the WNBA team, which I've known a couple of their star players have met with him privately. And he said, look, I'm here to blow the women's game up. I want to see you guys win a championship. After the Sparks win one, of course. But he didn't say that. I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, the point is that the heart and mind and intent is great. But until, you know, you have all of the infrastructure in place to avoid those circumstances, that's why those conversations matter. And so I'm glad it's not pinned, but I would feel a little bit better if it was deleted, but I understand that he is doing what he feels right. But we all know that the point is to make sure it's a we collectively. We, but y'all, it's a baby step. Okay?
It is. Oh, and Mark Davis isn't being canceled. Mark Davis is going to be allowed to continue to show he wants to do the work. And this is a reminder that this is not a beheading that's going on here. Mm-mm. It's an acknowledgement that you can listen and act and execute better in the future, and he'll have opportunities.
Accountability measures.
That's the word. That's the A word we need to keep running with. All right, coming up next, Janae and Golic Jr., we're going to switch gears here a lot and get back to what we've been building here for the entire week, our mock draft heading into next Thursday. We roll along with picks 7 and 8 next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We will keep that same energy in a few minutes, about 10 to be exact, and you don't want to miss this because it always catches my attention when there is a catfish scenario in the news. But we have some picks to get to. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN+. Janae Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr. holding it down, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We've got some great ones, especially mock draft edition. So once again, we are rolling like Ray on our Janae and Golic Jr. mock draft, and this is where we officially stand on our mock draft. First pick overall, Jaguars take Trevor Lawrence. 2, Jets, Zach Wilson. 3, the 49ers take Justin Fields. 4, the Falcons take Kyle Pitts. Bengals at 5 take Ja'Marr Chase, and the Dolphins at 6, Devontae Smith. Now we are officially at pick number 7, so let's get back to it. The Janae and Golic Jr. mock draft. Let's go.
The road to Super Bowl 56 and the Lombardi Trophy starts here.
Good evening. So you ready for the draft?
The NFL draft is right around the corner. And instead of Janae and Golic Jr. trying to navigate the mock draft landscape, we'll ask the people that actually cover and talk about these teams. It's the inaugural Janae and Golic Jr. mock draft on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.
All righty. Then here we go with the 7th pick. The Detroit Lions are on the clock, so let's hear those chimes, Cliff. And to make the esteemed selection, we are delighted to be joined on the Goodyear Hotline by Justin Rogers, who covers the Detroit Lions for the Detroit News. So here we go with the 7th pick. The floor is yours, Justin.
Well, with the 7th pick, I thank my fellow GMs for leaving him there for me. The Detroit Lions will take Oregon offensive tackle Penei Sewell.
Oh, offensive lineman, Junior.
Well, in love with this one. All right, so walk me through this. We got a new coach and a new quarterback in town. The Detroit Lions certainly have plenty of needs to address, but why is tackle the pressing need right here?
They have all the needs to address, Mike, all of them. But, I look at the board here, and I see wide receiver Jaylen Waddle, awesome playmaker, really interesting. I see a quarterback of the future in Trey Lance with an unlimited ceiling, but I'm going to go the safe route, and the Lions offensive line is probably their best position group heading into the season, but they're still a little shaky on the right side. And I look at those Dallas teams where they just had dominant offensive lines for a few years in a row. And I think the Lions can get there with one more big time piece to pair with Pro Bowl center Frank Ragnow, left tackle Taylor Decker, who's coming off his best season. You put Sewell on the right side, and I think you just have a making of a dominant group for years to come.
Justin, we appreciate the time and the pick. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Justin.
You're never going to have an issue when you bring up beef on this show. That is for certain. So we got the 7th pick in the draft. We have got the first tackle off the board in Penei Sewell. So now we got to see what's next. The 8th pick in the draft belongs to the Carolina Panthers. And so to help us out with that 8th pick, we head back to the Goodyear Hotline for David Newton, our ESPN Panthers reporter. David, the floor is yours. Let's hear the chimes.
Yeah, with the 8th pick of the 2021 Janae and Golic Jr. mock draft, the Panthers select Northwestern tackle Rashawn Slater. Look, the Panthers, since Jordan Groves retired after the 2013 season, have gone through like 14 left tackles. I think they had 4 players play that position last year. They've got to beef up that side of the line to give whoever the quarterback, Sam Darnold, whoever they have back there, time to do his job. That was a big problem for Teddy Bridgewater last year, and it looks like that you could get that person with Rashawn Slater right away.
And what a great value pick. A lot of people favor him actually over Penei Sewell, who's been the consensus number one, it felt like, for a while. But, David, we saw the tweet from our ESPN NFL. We did see that tweet. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Ogumike. And we saw that tweet from ESPN's Adam Schefter. And I think we had some technical difficulties with David Newton, but we appreciate him coming by to make the pick. And so we've got 2 tackles straight off the board, one after the other. And these ones are pretty highly debated, Janae. about who they think the top is. Daniel Jeremiah over at the NFL Network, who we've had some great cross-pollination between their network and our folks over at NFL Live for the last few days. Saw Peter Schrager there today. Going to be a great partnership, but there's a lot of people that think Rashawn Slater is the number one tackle in this draft. So for Carolina, who brought Sam Darnold down there, I still think quarterback could be in play at that spot, especially if one of these stars falls down to that eighth spot. But we also know Adam Schefter's tweet that we mentioned also talked about them picking up the phone for a trade down.
Junior, I'm really disappointed because I thought you'd be more excited for Elite Meat Shield, okay?
Like, I appreciate how much you care about making sure we get Shield thrown into there. Elite Meat Shield is what my friend said. And you're right, Janae. Listen, I am excited because looking at these two prospects, I think it's a fascinating look into what you got to do with offensive linemen in the draft. Penei Sewell is a transcendent talent. There is no one with the physical gifts that he's got in this draft. And we watched during the 2019 season, because he opted out of this last year, him and Rashawn Slater both did not play in this 2020 season. Penei is upside there. He is still getting better and better at his technique as he goes along. It's still at a very workable level, but you got all these gifts to work with. And then Slater at Northwestern, you go back and watch, everyone's marker and measure for Big Ten tackles is, well, how did they do against Chase Young last year before he was getting ready to come out? Mm-hmm. And Rashawn Slater went out there and handled his business. Chase Young had a little bit of action, and it didn't come against Slater in that game. He is technically, I think, a little bit further ahead, Janae, and that's kind of a thing you need to value with the linemen in the NFL. Dan Orlowski talked about production versus projection. And I think with offensive linemen, because you have less time on field with the current CBA, you don't get as much reps with them because there's fewer two-a-days and things of that nature. That skill set coming in early on in careers, I think, is a huge bonus at the offensive line spot. But don't get it twisted. It is still Penei Hive all day here as the number one
tackle. Penei Hive. Oh, my gosh.
Is that exciting enough for you, Jared?
That is so much better of a level of excitement because we finally get, you know, alignment off the board. And I thought you would be doing backflips and cartwheels and stuff. So.
Listen, it does feel good. Now, we got two offensive linemen off the board. And this is a tackle draft that's top heavy right now. You're going to see a drop off. And so I think we could get a run on some of the best guys early on here.
Okay.
Still plenty of great names. But to recap for everyone, the Janae Ngola Jr. mock draft, we got Trevor Lawrence going one overall, Zach Wilson at two, Justin Fields at three, Kyle Pitts, the first weapon off the board at four to the Atlanta Falcons, Jamar Chase picked at five, the Miami Dolphins at six selecting Devontae Smith, and then back-to-back we get the Lions taking Penei Sewell, which I haven't seen mocked in a lot of places, Penei lasting past the Bengals at five, and then the Carolina Panthers at eight, selecting Rashawn Slater, the tackle, out of Northwestern. Our thanks to Justin Rogers from the Detroit News and David Newton from the Carolina Panthers, our ESPN Panthers reporter, for helping us make those picks. But coming up next, Janae, like you said, there is one word that is always going to get people to run to their phones. We got catfishing going on in Los Angeles, and I, for one, am just thankful that I don't have to answer questions about
a catfishing
story this time. That's next here, Janae Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Today was a very, very, very good day, which is absolutely a blessing. So stay up, everybody, especially our TV crew that's showing the beautiful Los Angeles coastline. Love it. We got this halfway through the week. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwemeke and Mike Golic Jr. here, your family, first and forevermore. Now, speaking of family, we had some come through to hold us down, especially with the picks 5 through 8 in the Janae Ngola Jr. mock draft. I'm speaking of Mo Egger, host of the Mo Egger Show on ESPN 1530. Amber Wilson, host of Zaslow and Amber on 790 The Ticket. Justin Rogers of the Detroit News and David Newton, our ESPN Panthers reporter, all came through for their picks. And I'm excited because we've got 9 through 12 tomorrow, so stay tuned. And also today on Janae Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio, we talked to our uncle, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst and also one of the co-hosts you see every day on NFL Live. He gave so much insight, not on paper, scissors, rock, because we all know that that was a bad job, but he gave insight on the description process, you know, when it comes to evaluating in the draft, projection versus potential and production. It was really fascinating to hear him break that down. Why are you... Wait, let me just finish. And also Nick DePaula came through, our own ESPN sneaker reporter. Talk about the sneaker news of the week, obviously involving Kobe Bryant's family and their estate, you know, ending their partnership with Nike. So, what are you mad? Like, Junior, what's the problem? Because I said John again?
No, it's not even that you can't say John anymore. I'm just curious because we're all freaking out because Nick Sirianni apparently is playing rock, paper, scissors with draft prospects, the Eagles head coach. But what I want to know is how many of the people in this room think it's okay to call it paper, scissors, rock? Like, are we just going to let that slide?
That's a bad John. I'll just straight up say it. Bad John. Wait, a bad John.
No. Stop it. That's a bad John.
Tremendously bad John.
Hold on. Let's play paper, scissors, rock.
Stop. Like, you went to Stanford, okay?
They don't tell you how to say it and what order.
You should be smart enough to know.
Mama D said okay? In that order, okay?
Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're going to try and figure out why Chinay pronounces so many words wrong and differently. But in the meantime, we got some important catfishing business to get to. Let's keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chinay and Golic Jr.
Junior, we're going to do this once before we go. We're going to play it. Here we go. Paper, scissors, rock, and then shoot. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Paper, scissors, rock.
You didn't say shoot. You didn't say shoot.
Let's try it again. Sorry, I forgot. 3, 2, 1. Paper, scissors, rock, shoot.
What is your hand like halfway in between? You're the worst rock, paper, scissors player I've ever seen. For anyone not watching on ESPN Plus, I have never seen someone limp to the podium, call it by its wrong name, and then Chinay gave a rock with claws coming out of it. That was a rock that someone had jammed scissors ruined forever.
I was just trying to use the delay to see what you do and see if I could just react. But let's do this for fair. Fair and square. Here we go. Paper, scissors, rock, shoot. 1, 2, 3. Paper, scissors, rock, shoot. Yeah, I win! Paper!
Now, you know what?
Paper.
This whole thing is bunk. This whole thing is a mess.
Oh, now you lost, it's bunk. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, because you want to try and use tape delay to go ahead and win on your side of things.
That last one was fair and square.
This is a travesty, a sham, and a mockery. It's a travesty, sham, mockery.
The bosses are loving you guys playing rock, paper, scissors, shoot on radio.
We described which one we picked.
Captain Hook over there.
You know what the worst part of all this is? This is Meg. The second time I have played rock paper scissors. She's so infected me with this virus that she almost got me. This is the second time I played rock paper scissors on national radio.
And you lost. You took an L. Heavy.
This is disgusting what we've allowed to happen on this
show.
Okay,
continue. Keep that same energy. Right.
Keep that same energy. I mean, I don't know if I can come back. I don't even feel like I know the person I've been doing radio with for 7 months right now, which is actually a great segue. Keeping that same energy, Chinay. The entire Lakers online community got dealt an insane blow. I don't even know how to explain, Chinay. Can you properly contextualize what Laker Nation went through with a longtime Lakers podcaster that was found to be at the center of a catfishing scandal in recent days?
Like, do people know what catfish is? Junior, can you explain that?
I mean, I hope enough people watched that show in the mid-2000s. I mean, Lord knows I had to live a weird catfishing scandal while I was at Notre Dame got talked about. But essentially that idea that a Lakers podcaster who was reported missing for a little while and then we found out might not even have been real. This whole thing goes back to the fact that apparently someone's been lying on their identity for almost a decade, operating a pretty popular Lakers internet podcast in a way that is bizarre as all hell and so deeply internet I can't stand it.
So strange, but I mean, catfishes are interesting, though.
Catfishing, this is not noodling where you go and hand hunt catfish. This is online. Just a reminder, like, as a word of caution for everybody, and if you want to read more about this story, you can deep dive on me on the internet. This is a thing.
Okay.
If it's 2021 and you cannot get the person you've been talking to on FaceTime or Zoom now coming out of this pandemic, you might want to ask some uncomfortable questions because you're probably getting got.
Wait, hold on, Junior. Is noodling like catching catfish?
Oh, yeah. That's a real thing where you go out there and fish for those things
with
your bare
hands.
Fun fact,
I've never been fishing.
Well, we got to change that. I don't know how any self-respecting person can live almost 30 years of life without getting out there and going fishing. Billy, you raising your hands. You haven't been fishing either.
Never been fishing either, so.
Wait, what about you, Cliff? Hold on.
Of course I've been fishing. What the heck is wrong with y'all?
Okay, I didn't know if it was a fish.
Somewhere my
father. Fishing in the Schuylkill does not count.
Somewhere my father is weeping tears right now. We're going to have to, once we're all vaccinated and ready to go.
I want to go fishing with Senior.
We're going to organize the Janae and Golic Jr. official fishing trip after all this. That is the team bonding activity we're going to have to go through, because apparently, after today, I have learned that rock, paper, scissors is off the table. I can't trust the person I'm working with right here. Coming up next, stick with ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz will probably not play rock, paper, scissors for you audio-wise.
Paper, scissors rocks, y'all.
We're leaving.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.